Before we begin today's story on Revive Our Hearts, we're going back to the archives. Here's Nancy Lee DeMoss in 2002.
I was talking with someone about The Sound of Music recently, and we were talking about the different dreams that we had when we watched Sound of Music as children. And one woman said that she had a dream of growing up and getting to go to Europe because of all the beautiful scenery. And another woman said she watched that movie, and after she saw how hard it was having all those children, she dreamed of growing up and never getting married or having children. I said, well, I saw that movie when I was a kid, and I dreamed of growing up and marrying a widower with six children.
Well, fast forward to 2015. Today we'll hear how Nancy did marry a widower with two daughters, and like the Von Trapps in The Sound of Music, they all like to sing. Today, we'll hear excerpts from Robert and Nancy's wedding. This is the Revive Our Hearts podcast for Friday, November 20th, 2015. Most weddings have elements in common, but each wedding also has unique qualities, aspects that reflect the individual tastes and priorities of the couple getting married. Nancy and Robert Wolgemuth were no exception. If you watched their wedding last weekend via the internet, you might have noticed more scripture than usual at a wedding. In fact, just days before the wedding, we asked Nancy about it.
There's a lot of scripture in this wedding, and we wanted that to be the case. In fact, we open with a 6-minute scripture reading that Robert and I pre-recorded, where we've selected passages from both the Old and New Testaments that tell the great wedding story of Christ's love for his bride right from the Word of God.
I have loved you with an everlasting love.
Because your steadfast love is better than life, my lips will praise you.
I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in steadfast love and in mercy.
For your Maker is your husband. The Lord of hosts is his name.
If God
and the Holy
so
One of
us,
Israel, we also
indeed
ought to love one another.
Love one another earnestly from a pure heart.
The voice of my beloved. Behold, he comes leaping over the mountains, bounding over the hills. My beloved speaks and says to me,
arise, my love, my beautiful one, and come
in
away.
Everything to their
for
husbands.
Behold, the winter is past. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Let each one of you love his wife as himself.
And let the wife see that she respects her husband.
Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like a roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder, shouting, hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory.
For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready.
The free gift of the water of life.
He who testifies to these things says, yes, I am coming soon.
Come, Lord Jesus.
Make haste, my beloved.
To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Grace be with all who love our Lord Jesus with love incorruptible. Amen.
The scripture verses we just heard set the tone for the Wolgemuth-DeMoss wedding last Saturday.
And throughout the ceremony, we'll be singing some of the great hymns that exalt Christ, starting with Crown Him with Many Crowns, lifting up the name of Jesus and saying we want to exalt Him. Over the past months, as Robert and I have been planning this wedding together, we've said over and over again that our goal for this day and for the rest of our married lives together was to showcase the loveliness of Christ. And we've tried to do that in a lot of different ways, in this wedding ceremony, starting with as people walk into the sanctuary. It's a beautiful sanctuary, but there'll be two large banners that say, "Unto Him be the glory," and "Worthy is the Lamb." We want everything to point to Christ, our heavenly bridegroom, and to give people a taste for how lovely and amazing He is as our Savior.
The wedding was officiated by Dr. Bill Hogan, who was Nancy's pastor for many years.
On behalf of Robert and Nancy, it's my privilege and pleasure to welcome all of you here this afternoon. I know this is an event that many of you have been waiting for with excitement, an unexpected event. You will observe that there are no bridesmaids, no groomsmen in the ordinary sense. That's because the bride and groom want you all to feel that you are attendants and not just observers. You're participating in this beginning of a new family, a new life together. The invocation will be offered now by Dr. George Grant.
Worthy is the Lamb. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Let us give thanks to the Lord, whose steadfast love endures forever. Great and marvelous are your deeds, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the ages. Who will not fear you? Who will not worship and bow down before you? For your righteous deeds have been made known. All nations will come and worship before you, giving thanks to you for your everlasting kindness, your sovereign mercy, your steadfast love, your good providence. We who have tasted redemption accomplished and applied, now proclaim the name of the Lord Jesus over the household of Robert and Nancy, pleading the grace and the mercy of our mighty God, holy immortal, our Lord and Savior forever and ever. This is our prayer. Now come, anoint us with your Spirit, fill us with your love. Let our hearts be full of choruses of hallelujahs this day and forever. We pray it in the great name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Keith and Kristen Getty led some of the singing.
Savior,
this may be actually one of the longest weddings on record, but that's because we wanted to tell the gospel story throughout. And so, before we even have the wedding ceremony, the processional and the vows, our friend, Pastor Ray Ortland, will give a short message on marriage as a picture of redemption.
Marriage does not appear to be a profound mystery, as the apostle claims it is, in meeting someone new and introducing my wife, Janie, no one has ever said, "You're married? What a profound mystery." Marriage does not astound us. And that is why Paul alerts us to the profound mystery revealed in marriage. God has put his glory in marriage. And the Bible gives us eyes to see the glory that is there.
This is the Bridegroom, Robert Wagglemuth, reciting 1 Corinthians chapter 13 from memory.
Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. Love is patient, love is kind, does not parade itself, is not puffed up, does not seek its own, is not provoked. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Now we see through a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I will know as I am known. And now abide faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love.
We're listening to some of the highlights from last week's wedding of Nancy Lee DeMoss and Robert Wagglemuth. The music was carefully selected to draw attention to the giver of our joy, God Himself.
We've chosen to use roses and calla lilies for our wedding. You might wonder why. Well, in the Song of Solomon, one of my favorite books in the Old Testament, the bride says to her beloved, "I am a rose of Sharon and a lily of the valleys." Now, what she's really saying is that the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valley was a common, ordinary wildflower in the Judean countryside. And she's saying, "I consider myself a common, ordinary girl." To which the groom responds that he considers her to be extraordinary. So he says, "As a lily among brambles, so is my love among the young women." So we're using roses and lilies to signify our love for each other. We're using the colors white and red. White, of course, symbolizes the righteousness of Christ, in which he clothes us. And it's his righteousness alone that makes us worthy to be his bride. It also speaks to the purity of love and marriage as it's been ordained by God. And as to the color red, well, we know that Christian marriage is a covenant, a solemn binding agreement between two parties. And the Hebrew word for covenant comes from a root that means to cut. In fact, in the Old Testament, the making of a blood covenant involved cutting or dividing of animals into two parts. And then the two parties that were making a covenant would walk between the two parts of the animals from opposite ends, and they would meet in the middle where they would make their vow or their pledge. Well, that ritual symbolized the need for a sacrifice to bring two parties together, and it pointed to the new covenant in my blood that Jesus talked about and instituted just before his death and his resurrection. So the color red reminds us of the blood of the covenant through which two parties become one. Through the blood of Christ shed on our behalf, Robert and I are being united with Christ and united with each other on our wedding day.
Robert, will you have Nancy to be your wife, to live together in the covenant of marriage? Will you love her, hold and comfort her, honor and keep her in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, be faithful to her as long as you both shall live? If so, say, "I will."
I will.
Nancy, will you have Robert to be your husband, to live together in the covenant of marriage? Will you love him, hold him, and comfort him, honor and keep him in sickness and in health, and forsaking all others, be faithful to him as long as you both shall live. If so, say, I will.
I will.
And will all of you witnessing these promises do all in your power to uphold and affirm Nancy and Robert in their marriage? If so, say, we will. I'm supposed to give a charge to the bride and groom here, but I think this is the marriage of all marriages that least needs a charge. I mean, that's where you challenge them to live up to the things they're promising to do. So I just want to make a few suggestions. Last year, the day before our 56th wedding anniversary, my wife Jane asked me, how do you explain the amazing love that we share? And I paused for a moment and I said, I believe it's because God surprised us with each other and we never got over it. We just kept falling deeper in love. I believe in the value of ritual. And we have a number of them. I'll just tell you about one that is especially precious to me. Every time I leave the house, I should call it the condo, that's what it is. Every time I leave, Jane meets me at the door to tell me goodbye. And she asks me some questions. She says, who goes before you? And I say, the King of Glory. Who rides beside you? The King of Glory. Who follows behind you? The King of Glory. Who watches down from heaven at you? The King of Glory. And who hovers all around you? The angelic host. It can't be any safer than that, can
it? That's right.
There have been a couple of times, I must admit, when I have forgotten to stop and do that. I get as far as the underground parking garage in our condo building, and I remember, and I go back upstairs, and I find Jane standing at the door waiting because she knows that this is a precious thing for us. Who goes before you? The King of Glory. So all I can say to you is keep the Lord Jesus at the center of your relationship. Walk with him. Let everything be bathed in prayer in his name. And don't forget the promise of Deuteronomy 31:8, where he says, I will never, never leave you nor forsake you.
In the presence of God and these witnesses, by a holy covenant,
I, Robert, take you, Nancy, to be my wife.
I, Nancy, take you, Robert, to be my husband. I joyfully and gratefully receive you as God's gracious gift.
I promise to love you.
I promise to respect you.
Cherish you.
And to reverence you.
And to shepherd you.
And to submit to you in everything as my earthly head.
As Christ loves, cherishes, and shepherds his church.
As the church reverences, respects, and submits to Christ, her eternal head. As your helper, I will love, comfort, and support you, and will serve the Lord by your side.
I promise to give myself for you as Christ laid down his life for us. I promise to wash you with the word so as to present you holy and blameless before the Lord.
With sincerity of heart,
sincerity of heart,
and dependence on the grace of God,
the power of the Holy Spirit,
I pledge to you my tenderness,
my faithfulness,
and my friendship,
my affection,
and my love,
as long as we both shall live.
As long as we both shall live.
My heart is filled with thankfulness to him who bore my pain, who plumbed the depths of my disgrace and gave me life again.
By the authority committed to me as a minister of the gospel, I declare that Robert and Nancy are now husband and wife, according to the ordinance of God. So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let not man separate. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Pastor Bill Eliff read from the book of Revelation and shared some thoughts about the marriage of the Lamb.
Hallelujah. For the Lord, our God Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and exult and give Him the glory. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and the bride has made herself ready. You may be seated. Hallelujah. The joyous, wondrous life we share is just a shadowed view of what we'll celebrate above as we are wed with you. We live our lives in the shadowlands, as C.S. Lewis said. And everything about this world is colored by this present darkness. It almost obstructs reality. But what God has planned and the kingdom He is building is pictured all around us, simply waiting for the lifting of the veil. And by far the greatest picture of all is this picture we see today, this picture of an adoring wife and a loving husband and the marriage of the two that pictures the coming marriage of the Lamb.
And then came the moment in the ceremony many of us were awaiting.
Robert, you may kiss your bride. Join me in the congregational blessing. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. With great joy, I introduce to you Mr. and Mrs. Robert Wahlgemuth.
Robert and I have prayed together over the past months that God would use this ceremony, this special day, to minister deeply to the lives of those who participate with us. Those who are there in person, those watching by means of the live stream, or perhaps those watching a video later on. And we've asked God to minister to marriages, to those whose marriage may have gotten just stale, in need of fresh life, fresh love, or those perhaps whose marriages are hanging by a thread, and no one else knows it. So on the back of the printed program, we've included some meaningful reflections on Christian marriage. And one in particular by John Piper from his excellent book, This Momentary Marriage, goes like this. He says, "So it is with marriage. It is a momentary gift. It may last a lifetime, or it may be snatched away on the honeymoon. Either way, it is short. It may have many bright days, or it may be covered with clouds. If we make secondary things primary, we will be embittered at the sorrows we must face. But if we set our face to make of marriage mainly what God designed it to be, no sorrows and calamities can stand in our way. Every one of them will be not an obstacle to success, but a way to succeed. The beauty of the covenant-keeping love between Christ and His church shines brightest when nothing but Christ can sustain it. Very soon, the shadow will give way to reality. The partial will pass into the perfect. The foretaste will lead to the banquet. The troubled path will end in paradise. 100 candlelit evenings will come to their consummation in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And this momentary marriage will be swallowed up by life. Christ will be all and in all, and the purpose of marriage will be complete. To that end, says Dr. Piper, may God give us eyes to see what matters most in this life. May the Holy Spirit, whom He sends, make His crucified and risen Son the supreme treasure of our lives. And may that treasure so satisfy our souls that the root of every marriage-destroying impulse is severed. And may the marriage-watching world be captivated by the covenant-keeping love of Christ.
We've been listening to a condensed version of the wedding of the host of this program, Nancy Lee DeMoss, to Robert Wogglemuth. It took place last week, Saturday, November 14th, at College Church in Wheaton, Illinois. For more details and a lot of video from the wedding, visit reviveourhearts.com. One of the videos you'll see is a fully produced short film about Nancy and Robert's friendship, courtship, and marriage. It's called Unexpected Grace. We'd like to send you a copy of that short film on DVD. It includes a lot of bonus features that will help you get to know the heart of Robert and Nancy. Ask for the DVD, Unexpected Grace, when you make a donation of any amount to Revive Our Hearts. The number is 1-800-569-5959. That's 1-800-569-5959. Or visit reviveourhearts.com. Well, next week we celebrate Thanksgiving, but that doesn't mean all of life is neat and tidy. Nancy will talk about how to be thankful even when life is full of pain. Please be back for Revive Our Hearts. Revive Our Hearts with Nancy DeMoss Wogglemuth is an outreach of Life Action Ministries.